God is completely wise is our focus this afternoon. Turn with me as well, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 1, in the Pew Bibles, page 1361. 1 Timothy chapter 1, give our attention to God's holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant word. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the hope and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So far from the holy word of God, you see here that the Apostle Paul is writing to his protege. He's writing to Pastor Timothy. This is a pastoral epistle. Timothy as pastor of the church at Ephesus. That Timothy would conduct himself wisely in the church of God. And there are many things that come to us in the context of this chapter which exegete for us what wisdom is. We want to focus especially on the doxological words at the end of our reading at verse 17. Again, the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the God who alone is wise. To him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, our focus this afternoon, God is completely wise. We're continuing our study of God. We're continuing to reflect upon his character, asking about what the Bible says about his attributes. And we come to that expression in our Belgic confession that says he is completely wise, and that goes along with what we've read from 1 Timothy 1:17. He alone is wise. He is completely wise. And we're going to see together that this is building on an understanding of God that continues to flesh out the things we know about God. And we've been saying together as well that we're perhaps only scratching the surface. We're only giving a summary. You can go and find other attributes of God that you think should have been included in the list. We've spoken about holiness not being included. Love is not included, and our suggestion was that both of these are sort of summary statements that include everything that we see here. But now we focus on the fact that God is completely wise. Now, to build on what we've seen already, we've seen some things like God is omnipresent. Maybe the boys and girls remember something of that. Omnipresent means God is everywhere. We've seen that God is omnipotent, omnipotent. God is almighty. God is all-powerful. And what we're working with here this afternoon when we say that God is completely wise is another facet dealing with the character of God that we might call his omniscience. He is all-knowing. Omni, all, science, knowledge. He is all-knowing. But when the Bible speaks about God and the things that he knows everything, it goes beyond mere knowledge. And that's important for us to appreciate. It's not merely that God knows everything. It's that he is completely wise. And it's helpful perhaps for us to begin with a little reflection on the difference, the distinction at least, between knowledge and wisdom. You can know stuff. You can know things. You can know facts. You can know information. Today we are bombarded with information. Everybody has something they want to say. Spend any time on your Facebook feed or on the internet and you'll know that you're being bombarded with people who think they need to be heard because they've got some information that you need to know. We are bombarded with information. It's the information age. But you can have knowledge of stuff, things, facts, information, and not at all be wise. Certainly it's different with God. He knows everything. And he's completely wise about what he knows. Knowledge has to do with facts and information. Knowledge has to do with the theoretical stuff you can read in a book or on the internet, as the case may be. Wisdom has to do with application. If knowledge has to do with theory, wisdom has to do with practice. There are all kinds of ways that many of us would have to acknowledge, I've got so much to learn. There may be a sense in which I have some wisdom, some practical know-how in a certain area of my life, and then there are other areas in my life where I haven't a clue. And perhaps you'd say the same thing about yourselves if you were honest. And maybe when we speak about wisdom, and we speak about the wisdom that we see and experience around about us, maybe there are people who come to mind. Maybe an aged grandparent. Maybe an elder or a leader in the church today or in previous days who showed themselves to be someone who just always seemed to know the right thing to say and the right thing to do. And yet, if we were to have such a person with us today and we would say, that's the one I was talking about, that person, I'm sure, if they know anything about themselves and about God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, would say, I haven't begun in the way of wisdom. And though I may have some wisdom in some areas by the grace of God, I'm not completely wise. as the Belgic summarizes with regard to God. We would not say that about anyone, because we say from 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, God who alone is wise. In all that he does, every aspect of his character, every moment of history, God alone is wise, and to him be glory and honor. Praise be the Lord. So let's unpack a little bit this afternoon what it is that God is completely wise. God is perfectly wise. Again, we're going to ask a number of questions to make our way through this study. What's so important about wisdom? Well, wisdom is important because you don't want to be a know-it-all. When we say know-it-all, that's different than what we're saying about God, who knows it all. People who think they're know-it-alls really know so very little. They certainly don't know enough to be humble with regard to what they actually do know. They're wise guys, and that's not encouraging. We've read it from Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's something that is a recurring refrain in the book of Proverbs, starting at 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Think of Proverbs 9, verse 10, when it speaks of the blessing of the knowledge of the Holy One. That's wisdom, to know God, the Holy One. And we understand, therefore, that we need wisdom. Wisdom that comes from above. Wisdom that alone is from God. Now again, there may be practical ways in which people can be somewhat wise in the way of unbelief. Someone who knows how to trim a hedge. Someone who knows how to cut the grass. Someone who knows how to do brain surgery. There is a certain wisdom with regard to all of these things. But you can be a brain surgeon and not fear God and be a fool. You can be an atomic physicist and know some intricate things about the atom and not know God, not fear God, and be a fool. And you could probably speak to me as I could speak to you of godly saints, parents, grandparents, those who've gone before, who perhaps didn't have more than a sixth grade education, but who knew and loved the Lord and were wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let me emphasize what's told us in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 4, this is what Solomon urges us to understand. Now, remember Solomon. I should back that up for a moment. I wonder, boys and girls, do you remember what the Lord said to Solomon when Solomon took up his throne? Ask me anything. Ask me to give you what you want. 1 Kings chapter 3. And Solomon asked for wisdom. Solomon said, your servant needs understanding. And God was delighted in Solomon's request. Solomon, you didn't ask that you would live a long, long time. You didn't ask that you'd be really, really rich. You didn't ask that you would have victory over your enemies. You asked for wisdom, and that's what you need. And Solomon would reflect something of that, I think, when he says in Proverbs 4, verse 5, get wisdom! Exclamation mark. Get understanding! Exclamation mark. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she'll preserve you. Love her, and she'll keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. What we need is wisdom. What we need is wisdom. And wisdom, just to put some flesh on it, is taking what you know and acting appropriately. Knowing how to live. Knowing the right words to say, the right time to say them, and actually saying them. Knowing the right actions to take, the means that need to be followed to take those actions, and actually doing them. Wisdom is seen in action. And this convicts me in many ways. Because wisdom is not seen in procrastinated daydreaming and good intentions that knows the right thing to do but doesn't bother to do it. Wisdom is seen in action. It's important. It's the principal thing. It's what we need. And it's what is found in God alone. The God who knows all things, who knows the right means, and he puts all things into action according to his purposes to accomplish them and for his glory. So how wise is God? Second question, how wise is God? Well, he's completely wise. He's perfectly wise. He alone is wise in that sense. Again, we can approximate a sense of wisdom in different ways in our lives. And there can be ways in which we are occasionally wise or wise in certain areas of our life to a certain extent, but God is completely wise. And that's encouraging. And if we're going to build up on the fact that wisdom, I made a distinction between knowledge and wisdom. But something that we like to say when we do theology, when we think about the Bible, is many times it's important to distinguish without separating. So when we speak about God's wisdom, it does go hand in hand with what he knows, and he knows everything. And if you want to be wise, it's not a wise thing to say, well, I don't need all that information stuff. I don't need to study the Bible and stuff because I just want to be wise. I want to be like your grandmother. If you want to live the life of applied Christianity, there needs to be a Christianity to apply. There needs to be understanding of the Word. You need to have knowledge. It's not wise, of course, for us to say, well, I knew my Bible, I learned the catechism, but I'm not really interested in the Christian life. That's not wise. But you're not going to know anything about the Christian life if you don't pour your heart into the study of the Bible. And it's the same with God. When we speak of his being completely wise, it is built upon the reality that he is absolutely all-knowing, omniscient. He knows everything. Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch over the evil and the good. We have reflected a few times already, I believe, in the course of these sermons on David's words in Psalm 139. But the first four verses emphasize for us his knowing all things. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. The Lord knows everything. He knows your struggles. He knows your joys. He knows your secret sins. He knows your heart better than your wife knows your heart, or better than your husband, better than your mom or dad know your heart. He knows everything. And he knows what to do with what he knows. That's the link between knowledge and wisdom. Not just information for God. He knows how to accomplish his purposes. He's perfectly wise, completely wise. He knows what he's doing. Thanks be to God. Third question, where do we see God's wisdom in action? It's kind of a lame question in a way, because we could simply say, everywhere and in all things. We see God's wisdom in action everywhere. And maybe I could summarize it by saying we see God's wisdom in creation. In his redemption, and in all of the affairs of history, or in his providence, if you will, in all these things we see God's wisdom. You would say with the psalmist in Psalm 104, verse 24, Lord, how wonderful are your works, in wisdom you've made them all. Take an opportunity tonight to look up into the sky. See if you can see the stars and if you can count them. And reflect on what we've read and sung together already from Psalm 147. He numbers all the stars in the heavens. He calls them all by name. You think of what our understanding is of the expansive galaxies. And God knows them all by name. He knows everything. Consider his glorious work of creation. Just reflect on the beauty that you see around about you. Take the time to smell the flowers and enjoy the blessing of God's good creation, and just ponder how wise he is. You see the way of a young maiden with her little one, or you think of the blessing of the birth of a child. You think of, again, what we confess in Psalm 139, Lord, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I will praise you. You think of the intricacies of our body and of everything that the Lord has made. God is wise. And we should not get over that. We should reflect upon these things. As we've read from Psalm 111, all of his works are studied by those who take pleasure in them. So we should have our eyes open to the glory, the beauty, the majesty, the wisdom of God in his work of creation and his upholding of creation. Everything we are by his creative power. We see God's wisdom in action, of course, supremely in the sending of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his working of redemption. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, we say with a sense of awe with Paul, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it ever entered into the heart of man to imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. We could never have imagined the blessing of salvation which God has revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Every other religion in the world will suggest to you, work your way toward God. Every other religion in the world will lay before you a burden to earn your salvation. And it can't be done. And the wisdom of God is seen in that the sending of his Son, there is mercy. The work of salvation is not about what we do, but what about God has done in Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come, true and righteous man, truly God. Not something we ever would have imagined. Not something we ever could have provided or accomplished. And what has taken place in the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ is what Psalm 85, verse 10 describes as righteousness and peace have kissed one another, justice and mercy. Now we see how God can be both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus, Romans 3, verse 26. It's God. God is so wise. Salvation is so glorious. It's never entered into our heart to imagine such a thing. But when we know this Jesus, We can also rejoice in the wisdom of God experienced in His creation, in history, in the unfolding of His providence. That is to say, we know that God is at work in every circumstance that has ever happened, every challenge He's ever brought into your life and to mine. We may learn to say with David the psalmist, Psalm 119, verse 71, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn to keep your statutes, that I may draw near to God, the God who loves me. We may reflect upon the language of Joseph to his brothers when they came sheepishly into his presence and thinking he was going to strike them down, finally standing up and gloating in the fact that he was right all along as the one who would be shown homage by his brothers. And he's gracious. He reminds them, Genesis 50, verse 20, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good, that He may save many souls alive. And that's what God's like. That's what God does. That's something every one of us should do well to reflect upon. If we think for a moment about the blessing that we know God, and then we can look back over our lives and reflect upon the fact that we have learned to confess from the Bible, God works all things together for the good of those who love Him. And we may even be able to reflect upon hard things that take place in our lives. Recently, we have had our faces up against the window in terms of the hard things of little babies being called home to be with the Lord. And we learn to confess, God is completely wise. We learn to put our hands in front of our mouths and to say, we don't get it. We don't like it. We don't understand. God is completely wise. He's working glorious, good purposes in all of these things. And as we reflect long enough on these things for ourselves, perhaps we'll have the eye to see, Lord, You've been so good. Even through the crooked ways that I've walked, and even through the difficult things that I bucked up against, things that I didn't like, things that I thought were a pain, and You've taught me. You've worked. You've been wise. I couldn't make anything good out of any of that, but that's what You do. And that's what You've done. God is completely wise. We see His wisdom in action in everything. By God's grace, we learn to see a glimpse of that. Look around creation, as we think about redemption, as we enjoy His providential care. Question four, how must we respond to God's wisdom? Well, the answer is in faith, with a humble sense of awe, and with the acknowledgement that by nature, in the way of unbelief, we don't like this very much. You think about it. If you think about your sense of self-confidence apart from God, thinking, I can do this, and I'm going to do this on my own. I don't need God. That's a natural tendency of every one of us. And maybe I'm speaking to some this afternoon that actually still think that way. And when we think that way, this sense that God knows everything, it's frustrating. I don't want to hear it. And Psalm 90, verse 8 says, He has set the secret sins, our secret sins, in the light of His countenance. We say, whoa, I don't need that. But it's a reality. The response must not be one of denial, must not be a response of anger, response of turning from God and running. By God's grace, the response can simply be, Lord, I know you know me. I know you know me well, and I'm thankful that as we've read here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let none of us think to ourselves, we're so bad that we better run from God. So bad that we're worse than what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he called himself the chief of sinners. We're not. We're so needy, we're so bad, yes we are, but not so bad that the faithful Savior cannot redeem us. So we rejoice. God is wise to get that done. And he's done it in his Son, the Lord Jesus. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we acknowledge and confess, Colossians 2, verse 3, he's the one in whom all of God's treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid. He is our wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. We have that in Christ as we enjoy salvation in Christ. And then by God's grace, we respond in faith. When it seems as though God isn't answering our prayers, at least not immediately, we can rest in the knowledge that God's grace is sufficient and he knows what he's doing. And his grace is made perfect or magnified in our weakness, 2 Corinthians 12. When we find ourselves struggling, maybe with our health, whatever affliction, and we're all in a sense afflicted in a certain way, a general way, in our culture today. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, remember this, your light and momentary affliction is working for you an eternal weight of glory. God is wisely at work in this for your good and for his glory. We think about those who've had to face the reality of the death of a loved one, even a little one. Think of the wisdom of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants us with him. John 17, verse 24. And that's a wonderful place to be, in the wisdom of God. And by God's grace, we can learn to rest in that. Last question, how can we share in and reflect God's wisdom? One of the things I haven't yet emphasized this afternoon, you can say about some of the attributes, but not all of them, but you must say it about this one. It's one of what we call the communicable attributes of God. That's a much better thing than a communicable disease, which we know too much about. A communicable attribute means it's something that God communicates with us. It's something he shares with us. We have communion with him in the attribute of wisdom. Now, he alone is wise. He alone is completely, perfectly wise. We are so not. And yet, this wisdom attribute of God is something that should be seen in us. And again, if you're anything like me, I struggle with wisdom. I would say to you, I think I know, after some years of God's training and his work of grace and by his Spirit in my life, that I know some things about being a husband, about being a father, about being a pastor, about being a neighbor. But I would be loath to say, I'm wise in all of these things, a paragon of wisdom. Lord, I need more wisdom. I find myself so unwise. Again, there may be things that we know as Christians. We know the right things. We know the right things to say. We know the right things to do. But do we do them? Do we say them? Sometimes wisdom, of course, is knowing when not to say something. That can be wise. But again, I'm just speaking for myself. I typically, in most cases, sometimes it's the opposite as well, typically don't need to pray, Lord, help me to keep my mouth shut. It's more often the case that I need to pray, Lord, help me actually to open up my mouth and live by what I know and speak about what I know and do it in a way that shows your grace. That takes wisdom. And that's wisdom we don't have in and of ourselves. That's why God has told us in James 1 verse 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God. We should ask God. We should be asking him more and more. Lord, we need so much more wisdom. We need to get so much more practical. We need to be so much more engaged in this joy and privilege of the Christian life and sharing in your wisdom. If we know a thing or two about the Bible, if we know something about the Lord Jesus Christ and our life is not showing it, and our lips are not declaring it, that's not wisdom. Wisdom is seen in action. And I trust that that's enough for us to chew on in terms of coming to the recognition, Lord, you are so wise, and I'm not. And Lord, I want to be more practical. I want to be more engaged. I want to be more active in all that I've come to know in the blessing of knowing you. Let it not be said of us, as is said in James 4, verse 2, you don't have because you don't ask. If we lack wisdom, we should ask God, and God will give. He is so wise, and he is so gracious. And may it be our earnest prayer that we know the blessing of knowing God in Jesus Christ and that we're growing in wisdom like him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. He is our wisdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the one in whom all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid. Thank you, God, for the wisdom you have displayed in the wonders of your creation, but especially in the glory of our salvation. And thank you that as we rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, we may be glad to know you're at work, O God, and you are completely wise. You know exactly what you're doing, and you are working all things together for the good of those who love you. Help us to rest in Christ. Help us to rest in the blessing of knowing you are so wise. And help us as we rejoice in this salvation, by your grace, to reflect your wisdom. Lord, sometimes we have been so foolish. Sometimes we have known so much but lived in such a foolish way, not putting into practice the things that we know. We know better. Lord, we long to grow in wisdom, in practical holiness, in concrete devotion to you. And that's our prayer. Help us in this. Help us to encourage each other in this. Help us to be a blessing to those around us because of it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.